In complete dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord to help us. And ask your prayerful attention by way of text to the chapter we read in the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, and verse 22. The book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. This 22nd verse of the 8th chapter of the book of Proverbs. This chapter, like many in the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, refers to wisdom. Find wisdom mentioned throughout the scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation. But not so much as in the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Sometimes the word wisdom applies to earthly wisdom, which we have to thank the Lord for in our conduct wisely in the things of this life, sensibly. But for the most part, wisdom refers to divine wisdom, the wisdom that is of God. Solomon, who wrote the book of Proverbs, he prayed for it. Not specifically by that word. He didn't pray for wisdom. He prayed for an understanding heart. Dear friends, there's not much difference, is there, between wisdom and an understanding heart. But Solomon had been called by God to be the king of Israel. It was a way which the Lord had constrained him to come, as commanded unto David, that his son Solomon should be the next king of Israel. And Solomon was young, and he feared. He feared that he would not be able to fulfill the work of God as king of Israel. The responsibilities were great. The people were numerous. He felt his weakness and inability. Now Solomon, before he prayed, dear friends, he'd acted unwisely, he'd acted sinfully. He'd married the daughter of the king of Egypt, which was outside of the word of God. So he was a man of earthly desires and lust of the flesh, the same as all are. But this great work lay before him. He did not know what to do, but the Lord told him what to do. Ask what I shall give thee. Oh, dear friends, what a mercy, isn't it? The Lord is mindful of those whom he will use for his honour and glory. Ask what I shall give thee. Now Solomon, under the influence of the Spirit of God, in the power of that word of God, did not ask after his own earthly heart, his carnal heart. We have it, don't we, in the book of Romans, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. And the Lord helped Solomon in his infirmities to ask what the Lord would give him. He described how he felt unable to fulfill the work that was laid upon him. He could not do it without the help of the Lord. Dear friends, within him was put the fear of the Lord, that unless the Lord would help him and be with him, he would never be able to do that which was required of him. He prayed for an understanding heart. Dear friend, that understanding was given to him more and more, wasn't it? Not only was he given understanding, he was given riches as well. Oh, the Lord was with him. The Lord directed him in his spirit and in his mind and in his outward acts. He was the beloved of the Lord. The Lord called him Jedidiah, the beloved of the Lord. Now, dear friends, this is true with all the Lord's people. Those who he would call into a particular pathway in earthly life, to fulfill the honour and glory of God, to fulfill his purposes, he will give them wisdom to do that which is required of them. We find it with Solomon, how he handled the judges of being a judge of the people, the building of the temple, or how he handled his servants and the riches he was given, and so on and so forth. The Queen of Sheba said not half had been told of what she'd heard about him. And Solomon wasn't alone in that, was he? Oh, we can look back to the earlier patriarchs, especially those whom the Lord would use to his honour and glory. What wisdom was given to Abraham? What wisdom was given to Jacob? Oh, they acted unwisely at times. But, dear friends, they came to know their dependence upon the grace and the mercy and the goodness of God. And what about Moses? Oh, that great role he was called to fulfill in bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. He couldn't go in his own strength, could he? Or when he was by the burning bush, objecting to the way the Lord would have him go, the Lord spoke those words, certainly, I will be with thee. And he had to go in the strength of that word, didn't he? That promise. God is faithful that promises. His word shall not fail. And when they came to Horeb the second time, after coming out of Egypt, there to worship God on that mountain when God gave Moses the law, and the people sinned, and God said to Moses, I certainly will not go up with thee. I will give an angel, and he will go before thee. That wasn't good enough for Moses, was it? If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. His dependence was upon the Lord to be his wisdom, to be his guide, to perform all things for him. Without that, he could do nothing. He could do nothing. Dear friends, the common thing there between those of the patriarchs and Solomon was the fear of the Lord. The fear that he would depart from them. The fear that he would leave them on their own. The fear that they would have to struggle just with their own earthly abilities and wisdom. And that fear of the Lord, we read, is the beginning of wisdom. Not earthly wisdom. Being made wise unto salvation. Wise unto that sure hope of eternal life following one's days upon this earth. Dear friends, that's the divine wisdom, isn't it? That's the divine wisdom of God. And the divine wisdom of God, dear friends, is Jesus Christ. Oh, Paul speaks of him, who is the wisdom of God. And this chapter, dear friends, it's really a direct reference, isn't it, to Jesus Christ. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. Dear friends, if you want any evidence, assurance, that Jesus is the eternal Son of God, you find it no clearer than in this chapter of the 8th of Proverbs. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was, I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. I was there. He set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, ever has been and ever will be. What do we read of him there? Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. His earth, yes. Not a thing was made without him, was there? The Word was with God, the Word was God. Nothing was made without Christ. He was the Word that spoke, and it was done. It is his world, his earth. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Verse 31. My delights were with the sons of men. Oh dear friend, what a testimony that is of the coming of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who before the world began, he enjoyed the glory with the Father, but condescended to the Father's will. To delight to do the Father's will. To come and do that which nothing of mankind could do. They were sinners. They'd been beguiled by Satan. Ever born in sin. And they could not destroy it. They could not destroy that power within them. But Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. Oh, what a clear work that is, as recorded in the first epistle of John. To destroy the works of the devil. The originator, the power of sin. That's infected all of us, all of the seed of Adam. And only were worthy to be blotted out from before a holy God. But I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. It was always ordained before the world began that Christ should come to be the Saviour of sinners. And dear friends, what a Saviour. To give his own life a sacrifice for sin. Dear friends, we cannot reach the depths of that love. That love towards those whom the Father gave him to die for, can we? He was holy, he was pure. We are not holy and we are not pure. But oh, how the death of others, and particularly when one gives themselves, perhaps in the time of warfare or in danger, a sacrifice, as it were, to shield another one from death, and their lives are taken. Oh, dear friends, our heart goes out to them, doesn't it? But here we have one who was wholly pure. He knew no sin. That the love of God was commended toward us, that whilst we were sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, dear friends, this word us, a peculiar people, a special people, as that means in the scriptures. The Lord knoweth them that are his. The foundation of God standeth sure. Everything stands sure in accordance with the divine purpose of God. And his will shall be done. And all those whom were his chosen, we've had of mentioned Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, we can look at David. David, nothing could prevent their knowledge of their soul's salvation. They were the beloved of God. Oh, that word was specifically spoken of Solomon. It applies to all the Lord's people. They're loved with an everlasting love. And with loving kindness he draws them. They're born in sin. They're shapen in iniquity. But oh dear friends, this word now has a third application, doesn't it? I was set up from everlasting. All his people. Everyone chosen in Christ Jesus. They were set up from everlasting. From the beginning. Or ever the earth was. Before the earth was created, before you or I were born, before any creature was born upon this earth, there was this people whom the Lord would form for his praise. How does he form them for his praise? Dear friends, it's not through providential mercies. It's not through the affluence upon this earth. We enjoy much of it, don't we? But all the affluence seems today to bring in more evil, more temptations, more being satisfied with earthly things outside of the things of God and of Christ. No, we do not praise the Lord for on the basis of many earthly blessings, we might call them, our providential needs. We have to thank him for them, yes. I trust we will. But only those who are truly know the true work of the wisdom of God in Christ Jesus to the salvation of their souls will truly give thanks. Because their thanks, dear friends, is founded on the salvation of their souls. It's founded on nothing else. They're called to know that they're sinners. I think it's David, isn't it? In his psalm of confession, in Psalm 51. If my eye can just drop upon it. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. The hidden part. Dear friends, that's not your outward form, that's not your outward doings. That's not how we appear to others, is it? The inward part is that which is in our heart and soul, that which is secret to ourselves. There, dear friends, we are taught that we are sinners. Through the wisdom of God, the witness of his Spirit who tells us of Jesus. Oh, dear friends, this wise work through whom Satan is destroyed. We come before him guilty. Oh, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. I'm a sinner. I've got no hope of eternal life. I cannot do anything to save mine own soul. Dear friends, as Solomon feared for the practical work that the Lord had given him to do, so we fear for our soul in life's journey. the way in which he has called us, being born upon this earth, that one day we shall die. There's a beginning and there's an ending. And between those two, the beginning and the ending, dear friends, if we know no change, we do not fear God. Well, the scripture's clear, isn't it? Those who have no changes fear not God. But those who know this change of their heart, what they are by nature guilty before a holy God, dear friends, that will bring them to fear God. It will bring them to admit they've got no strength of their own. It will show that they confess that they're weak, they're poor, they're needy. But dear friends, they're chosen because they know this experience. They know this work of grace within their heart. They're loved with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, he draws them. Oh, how many examples do we read of in Scripture of those? Like Ruth, born in Moab, outside the Commonwealth of Israel, outside, dear friends, any knowledge of God, far off, having no hope of eternal life. But dear friends, how the Lord used circumstances to bring her into the fear of God. The change of her heart. Oh, she could leave now Orpah. Orpah could go back, yes, to the things she enjoyed most, as we do by nature in this world. But there was one thing she desired more than that. It was to be a child of God. A child of God. Now that was wisdom, wasn't it? That was wisdom. And she prayed for that wisdom. She said to Naomi, "Thy God be my God. Thy people be my people. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Where thou diest, I will die," and so forth. Oh, she was one of those who could say, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old." In the beginning of his way. It is his way, isn't it? He is in the beginning of our way. It isn't our own way that chooses us to fall before him in the confessing of our sins with that broken heart and that contrite spirit. No, it's his work. Well, we read, don't we, of many who call upon the Lord. Or, sorry, say, call upon one another to give their hearts to the Lord as if it's their own work. As if they can achieve many to be saved from hell unto heaven by causing them to believe they have this solemn great choice. You know, dear friends, what came to me many years ago, having been under the similar exercise, was that of Paul, where he's before King Agrippa. Paul testified of what the Lord had done for his soul. Paul had spoken how he'd been called by the wisdom of God on his way to Damascus, and how he'd followed the work of the Lord since then in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And having obtained help of God, he continued in that way. And as he continued to preach concerning the death and resurrection of Jesus, Festus says, "Thou art beside thyself, Paul." And King Agrippa said, "Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Although almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Dear friends, if there's any opportunity for someone to say to Agrippa, "Give your heart to the Lord, you're almost a Christian," it would have been then, wasn't it? But Paul didn't say that. He said, "Oh, would to God, not only thou, but all these others with me, be such as I am, except these bonds." The work of God, the work of Christ. Oh, salvation is by his grace, and his grace alone, through that of his eternal begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all those that are his, dear friends, they do come to believe on him through that work of grace within their heart. that can testify of their sin. They've no righteousness at all. Nothing in our hand we bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. My dear friends, does this affect you? Is this your pathway? Am I outlining it to you? The way the Lord has called you? The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old, called by grace, foreknown. Those who were foreknown, they were predestinated. Predestinated to be called, called by grace. Predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Oh, what manner of love the Father bestows upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Dear friends, there's no denying of that effect when he comes, is there? We're lost in wonder, we're lost in love, we're lost in praise. And he that begins that good work in us, he will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ, when either he comes again or we are taken from time to eternity through the death of our bodies. He will perform it, and he is faithful that hath promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, dear friends, if the beginning is right, your ending is going to be right. Many things may come between the beginning of your call by grace and the end of your earthly life. You'll know tribulations. You'll know the trials of faith. You'll know your sinful nature. Perhaps you will do it more and more, because your heart is made more tender through the love of Christ who hath first loved you. But, dear friends, that work which has begun, it will never be removed from you. He will never take away from beneath you those everlasting arms of the truth as it is in Jesus. Oh, he is wisdom. Everything else compared to Christ is foolishness. Oh, can Satan, in all his temptations of your soul, in all the trials of your faith, in all that he may bring upon you to cause you doubts and fears, will he have you return to him? No. The righteous shall hold on their way, not through their own strength, through the strength of him who holds on to them. Fear not, I will help thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will help thee, I will hold thee by my right hand. I am thy Redeemer. Oh, dear friends, what a truth that is. The redemption of Christ Jesus, the power of his shed blood. I think we read it here as I was reading through it. Concerning those riches, or was it in the earlier part, where he speaks, nothing is to be compared to this wisdom that is in through Christ Jesus, compared to the gold and the silver. He says, riches and honour are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. The redemption of our souls. It's not bought with gold and silver, is it? We're not bought with that great price, even though there's a lot of wealth in those terms in this world today. No. That's the wrong currency. We can't buy our souls. They're not bought with the price of earthly things. They're bought with the price of heavenly things, the wisdom of Christ Jesus, who gave himself a sacrifice for sin, who shed his blood on Calvary's cross, redeemed by that blood. Dear friends, that nothing can then withhold the liberty of that soul from the captivity of sin. It's free. It's bought with a price, his own heart's blood. Therefore, dear friends, we are now not our own, are we? We are bought with a price. The Lord possessed me. We are his, and now we know we are his, and we are ever his. Not just for time, but for eternity. Oh, what a blessed prospect. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old, ever known unto the Lord, ever a sinner upon this earth, but ever saved by grace, called to enter into that eternal habitation of heaven above with Christ Jesus, who is all wisdom, all grace, that perfect love. Oh, what must it be like to be there? Oh, dear friends, this is something to be sought for, isn't it? You know, I looked at David, is it Psalm 27? When David said, when thou saidst unto me, seek ye my face. See, the Lord begins, it is in the beginning, isn't it? The Lord said unto me, seek ye my face. And David said, thy face, Lord, will I seek. What did we read earlier in this chapter? Concerning they that seek me early shall find me. I love them that love me. Of course he loves them. Because they are called by his loving kindness, his love. They are drawn to him. They love him because he hath first loved us. And those that seek me early shall find me. Oh, dear friends, whether we're a seeker, whether we're a finder, our foundation, our beginning is the same, isn't it? Oh, to hear that voice of love and mercy from Calvary. When thou saidst to my soul, seek ye my face. You're a sinner. I've shown you you're a sinner. I've taught you by my Spirit you're a sinner. Seek my face. And the answer is, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Oh, that's the beginning, isn't it? You were possessed of the Lord in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. And that work is an everlasting work, because his love is an everlasting love. He will carry you to glory, to dwell with him forevermore. Oh, may these things be a word of comfort to a tried soul. Christ is in the beginning. Christ is the end, the all wisdom, the all glory. Amen.